And now everyone's favorite nightly host, Jay Binkley.
Thank you very much, Julio. Julio Sanchez. A little snow out here in Kansas City today. We only have an hour, so we're going to make the best of the hour. Dana Hughes joins me at 6:15. I have some wide receiver questions for him. Sammy Watkins possibly not playing this week. We'll have to see what Dana Hughes thinks about that. Kent Swanson, my Inside the Patrick Mahomes Film Lab, comes on each week at 6:30. So we'll have that as well. New news is out, Julio. I don't think you know this. Maybe you do. 10 minutes ago, the Royals just put it out. Salvador Perez is the Silver Slugger for catcher. It's the Silver Sluggers are given out basically to the best player at each position in the American and National League. This is coaches and managers of Major League Baseball vote on this. So they look at these categories, batting average, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, you name it. But Salvador Perez adds another Silver Slugger. Led all Major League catchers this year in home runs and RBI. Led the American League catchers with 50 extra base hits. And keep in mind, Sal Perez basically missed the first month of the season with the being out with that carrying the suitcase injury. But Salvador Perez, I'm telling you, man, this guy is starting to rack up some serious hardware.
Congrats to Salvi, and that was unnecessary of you to bring up the suitcase thing, Bank.
Well,
I mean, throw that out there.
But it is what it is. He's been to the All-Star game now 6 times. He's only 28. He started the last 5 years. Won a World Series, of course. He was the World Series MVP. He's won Gold Gloves now 5 times because he just got his Gold Glove. And this is his second Silver Slugger Award because he won another one in 2016. Salvador Perez was leading all of Major League Baseball in throwing base running percentage out up until like the last final couple weeks of the season. I mean, he was hovering about 50%. This was actually Salvador Perez's one of his best defensive years, as good he is. But that's crazy, man. Silver Slugger for Salvador Perez again. Again, there was some good news for the Royals down the stretch. The way Mondesi played, the way that Whit Merrifield led all of Major League Baseball in hits and stolen bases. So the awards keep coming for the Royals. But Sal Perez, when you want to talk about who's this guy from this generation, this group of Royals with Hosmer and Moose and Kane and the bunch, probably Salvador Perez, how long he stays in Kansas City. You know, he's still signed here in KC. He wants to be a Royal. I mean, World Series MVP, that certainly puts you in the upper echelon of in the franchise history. A couple Silver Sluggers. Could Salvador Perez have his number retired at Kauffman Stadium? It's not far-fetched to think so. Could Sal Perez end up in the Hall of Fame? Not far-fetched to think so. But he might be this generation's of this group most talented player. So congratulations to Salvador Perez. From our guy Pete Sweeney today, he said Bob Sutton, he sounds like Justin Houston will be back in the lineup this week. Says he hopes he picks up where Justin Houston left off. I don't know. We'll see. I usually believe that Justin Houston will come back, even though we're sitting and waiting for Eric Berry. Eric Berry, Cam Irving. Cam Irving's been sick. That's all it is. Hitchens was out. Mitch Morse, still the concussion protocol with Mitch Morse. Sammy Watkins didn't practice today for the Chiefs. May not play in this game. It'd be Conley. Conley'd be the next man up. And really with this team, this is where you see quarterbacks like Pat Mahomes start to excel. They start to excel when starters are out and they raise the level of somebody else. And we saw it a million times with Peyton Manning. He took average receivers and made them great. He took players like Jacob Tammy and made him a legitimate player. That's what good quarterbacks do. And Julian Edelman with Tom Brady in New England, he's a great receiver, but I'm sure that his numbers wouldn't be the same without Tom Brady. But we'll see. Don't forget, Mahomes made Albert Wilson a lot of money this offseason for the production that he had that last week against Denver. So anyway, that's kind of the Chiefs news. We'll do a lot of Chiefs. Dana Hughes with the Chiefs at 6:15, 6:30. Kent Swanson inside the Mahomes Film Lab. Thursday night football tonight, it's actually a good one. Sometimes Thursday night football, like last week, was bad. A bad, bad game anytime you put the Raiders on it. Panthers and Steelers, 7:20 tonight. Panthers 6-2, Steelers 5-2-1. Some college football tonight, Wake Forest, NC State. Peyton Manning is doing this new show, and it's pretty good stuff. It's called Detail, and it's on ESPN, where Peyton Manning, when he retired, basically everybody wanted him. Everybody wanted him to do network. He turned down multi-million-dollar offers from ESPN and Fox, CBS, you name it. Everybody wanted Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning is a draw. But he didn't do it. And then there was talk, was Peyton Manning going to go into the front office? Because I think that's actually kind of what he's geared for, kind of like the role like John Elway. And you don't often see the great ones become good beyond playing. Now, we've seen great players become good GMs, like Ozzie Newsome, great player, great GM, you know, coming up with the Ravens. But Peyton Manning's the new show called Detail. And what they do is he breaks down film of quarterbacks and different players. And Patrick Mahomes was the guy. Now, he broke down a Mahomes interception versus Denver. And this is Peyton Manning on Detail talking about Pat Mahomes.
Look, it is tough. He's a competitive guy. I threw a lot of interceptions this way as well. It was open all week in practice. Now they have the tablets now where they're watching the film and they're going to say, hey, we're going to come back in the third quarter or fourth quarter and run this play. And you want it so bad, and it's just not open. And we just got to be disciplined to throw it away. It's part of playing quarterback, knowing when to not be so competitive, right? And sometimes they're going to cover everybody, and you got to say, hey, good job. My hat's off to you. I'm going to live to play another down. Coach David Cutcliffe, my offensive coordinator at Tennessee, now the head coach at Duke University, has been one of my quarterback mentors throughout my career, always said the most important thing about every single play is that we still possess the ball at the end of that play.
That's what Peyton Manning was. You possess the ball. And that's where I feel Pat Mahomes is. He's got the situation. I actually have a lot of confidence in Pat Mahomes. When you're at the end of the game, I used to worry. Remember when Alex Smith went, 3 years without scoring but for 2 minutes before a half? I'm talking even a field goal before a half or the end of the game. I don't feel that way with Pat Mahomes, and I haven't felt that way for a while. You know, I'll go back to, you know, Aaron Rodgers that went on Brett Favre's radio show. Brett Favre does a radio show on Sirius XM NFL Network radio, and they were talking about that killer instinct and be the guy that they fear on the other sideline. Be that guy that they talk about and they don't want you to go in the game. They don't want to leave you any time on the clock. I mean, for years, I'd watch Chiefs and Broncos, and you left Elway. I mean, it's great that the Chiefs scored at the end of the game, and you're like, all right, Chiefs scored a touchdown, but you got a minute and a half, and you got John Elway into the sideline. But that's Pat Mahomes. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to throw interceptions. He's aggressive. But he's going to make far greater plays. And you know what? The interceptions, I don't think, will cost the Chiefs very much because they just come right back and score again. They keep Dustin Colquitt on the sideline. He's the Maytag repairman as punter. But I feel that way with Mahomes. He's going to take chances and make mistakes, but I'm good with that because there was chances I wanted Alex Smith to take that he didn't. Now, it would be great if you had a shutdown defense that would turn around a lot of three and outs and get you the ball right back. Don't have that situation with the Chiefs in this defense, but Pat Mahomes is back to circa 2016 with Texas Tech, 128th in total defense that year. That was out of 128 teams, 130 now. It was 128 back in 2016. So we'll talk a lot more inside the film lab with Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride at 6:30. Kansas coaching search, it's been interesting. They're doing what they always do, and there's pictures of a jet. Jeff Long was on a jet that flew back by Dallas, and all of a sudden you start seeing the tweets of, you know, flight tracker following aircraft. They did the same thing with Mike Leach when they thought he was going to be the guy. A few years ago, they were tracking planes from Key West to Lawrence. I remember the media showed up there one time, and it was just some family guy with a lot of money that flew to Lawrence that happened to be in Key West. But they track these things. Now, Seth Luttrell, Denton, Texas, North Texas, been in 3 straight bowl games, former Oklahoma Sooner on that championship team with them under Bob Stoops, the team captain. 3 straight bowl games for North Texas, young, up-and-coming head coach. That's an option. Les Miles, his agent, I heard, lives in Dallas, whatever it is. But is the Les Miles, and Kansas admitted, they've talked to Les Miles. Dennis Dodd, who covers college football for CBS Sports, was on The Drive earlier today. And he said this when it comes to how soon does he think it is for Les Miles and KU. And don't forget Matt Tate when he came on the other day. He thinks this thing will be wrapped up in a couple of weeks. But here's Dennis Dodd and how long he thinks it'll take to lock in Les Miles.
Well, I think Jeff Long kind of answered that question Sunday when he said sooner rather than later. I think you can read into that the early signing day on December 19th. I think it's crucial that you get a guy, you know, maybe this month to get in there and get ready to go and start recruiting because that's where it starts for any program. And now this early signing period, you saw it last year, it put a lot of pressures on schools to fire coaches early because they had to get them in and get recruiting. So what's today, the 8th?
Yeah, today's the 8th.
Yeah, I would speculate maybe this month.
Early signing day is in December. You have two signing days now, so it is imperative to get the coach in there, get the right fix, because it's all about recruiting. This is what Dennis Dodd said about what KU needs to find out about Les Miles.
I think, you know, the age doesn't bother me. He, if you look at him, he's like Nick Saban. He looks 10 years longer, younger than he is. The energy is there. There's no question about that. And I think that, you know, I think that hurts him. I think it's unfair to him because, you know, he is quirky, but he can coach. You know, everybody wants to make fun of the eating grass thing and all that, but the guy is smart. He's indicated in the past, at least to others, that he'd switch to a spread offense if that's what it takes. And I think that would probably compete best in the Big 12 because he was a staunch pro-style run-first guy at LSU and was criticized for not developing quarterbacks, but I think he could do it. I think he'd do whatever they wanted him to do. I think one of his selling points is there's absolutely no scandal, no NCAA violations in his background. He recruits well. He's got the energy. So I don't see any downside because if you're not going to get a guy like him, you're going to get a guy who in 4 years is going to be gone. And I'll tell you why. If he wins, he's going to take a step up. If he loses, he's going to be fired. It's not a 20-year job at Kansas. In fact, it may be a two-coach rebuild job. You know, whoever the next coach is, maybe a bridge to the next guy. But I think and I'm not speaking for Les Miles, but I think this could be a retirement job for him. You know, he could stay 6, 7, 8 more years, and that'd be it for him.
And then also he's asked, why would Miles even consider KU?
Les Miles wants to coach football. His age is hurting him, I think. There were a few openings last year that he would not even given a phone call on. And it started out, I think, when he got fired at LSU in, what was it, September of 16. He was like a Power 5 only guy, and then it became, well, I'll take anything. And now he's to the point where, and I'm not speaking for him, I'm just speculating, he's now to the point that, look, all these guys just want to coach ball. You know, money is money. He's got money. I think he just wants to get back in the game. And the fact that it's Kansas and it has an opening seems to fit him. And he's got a relationship with Jeff Long as well.
The only thing for me is the hunger there. He's got the ring. Is the hunger still there? Is it still driving him to get that ring? That's the question. He's 65 years old. Always been a big fan of the Mad Hatter, Les Miles. I just want to know. Actually, I don't care because I'm not a Kansas fan. But I'm just saying, you know, I do like Les Miles. But I like a lot of the other young head coaches like Neil Brown, South Luttrell, Jason Candle, Toledo. There's a whole bunch of them. But anyway, I digress. But it was that. From the text line, the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line, you guys are on fire tonight. Someone said had to take a massive dump in traffic, made it home in time. Life doesn't suck. Thank you for that text. I much appreciate that. We talk Dane and Hughes. We talk Kansas City Chiefs next. Well, it's always good to talk football with Dane and Hughes. I used to miss Dane and Hughes. He used to be a weekly guest, and I enjoyed our conversation. So we'll chime in with the former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver prior to the Iowa Hawkeyes, Dane and Hughes. What's up, Dana?
What's going on, man?
How you doing? Hey, have you been paying attention at all to the KU coaching search, or do you even care? You're a smart guy. You're in tune with college athletics. Well, who do you think they should hire?
Well, you know, obviously the big name is Les Miles. I know Brett Bielema, name thrown out there because of his former relationship with the AD. And, you know, I think you need to go with the big name. I just kind of feel like it seems like it's all throughout all sports when there's coaching changes. If you got a loud, boisterous guy, the next coach is more of a player-friendly, kind of quiet guy, and then you just go through those ebbs and flows. And I think in this situation, KU has been football-wise, you know, kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. I think they need to put some money into getting a quality coach that can go out and recruit and build up that program back to the level that, you know, people want. I mean, it's a basketball school. Everyone knows it's a basketball school, but that doesn't mean it can't have a competitive football program.
Dayton, one of the things I've talked to you over the years with quite a bit is Chiefs wide receivers. And I remember, you know, having conversations a couple years ago, like, who do we have as a number one? Who's our number two? We clearly know that now. But Sammy Watkins, the foot injury, may or may not play this. I mean, I don't know if it matters. Do you think the receivers the ability to stretch the field and do the things they do, how much credit do you give them, and how much credit do you give Patrick Mahomes giving them the ball and an opportunity to be successful?
You know, I give those guys a lot of credit because there's been a change in the mindset and the approach of the wide receivers. You know, obviously guys want to go out there and showcase their talent. And as a wide receiver, I started a few games in my career, but I was mostly relegated to that number three, number four receiver role. And you always believe that you're just as capable as a starter. You just need opportunity. And the one thing that was one of the points that I always thought was a drawback to Alex Smith is that the engagement to the receivers wasn't where it needed to be. Many games, many times I would watch the film, and receivers knew when they broke the huddle. You could almost sense when they broke the huddle what receivers knew they were going to get the ball and who didn't know that they were going to get the ball just by their mannerisms, their body language. There wasn't that expectation that Alex would be able to scan the field and get to a third progression down the field or make a play out of something besides his legs. And I often watch guys just kind of quit on the backside of routes. They didn't run them full speed. They didn't go that extra effort that you see now. And part of the reason is because guys really feel now that they are a viable part of the offense, a viable part of every single play, because Patrick Mahomes has that ability from the ball. So there's been a transformation from the wide receivers mentality that, you know, those guys are, you know, they're standing like in a track stance on the sideline waiting to get in, waiting for Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy to tell them what personnel package they can jump in on, because they know they can make a splash when they get on the field. And that kind of liveliness, I think, was necessary for this offense, and that's what Patrick Mahomes brings.
Chris Conley would be that chance. He'd be the next guy up for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a free agent after this year. And I didn't know what to expect with Conley, because this guy's got amazing talent. I mean, his combine and his athletic skills are like second to none. Like, you know how smart he is and how he can be acclimated. But I guess I'm still waiting for him to break through. I feel he has it, and I feel given the opportunity, you know, obviously Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill is going to get the bulk load of the work. But for some reason, you know, with Pat Mahomes as the quarterback, you know, I do have expectations. I feel if Pat Mahomes can make this guy some money if he gets a chance. I think we lost Dana. But he was going to say that, yes, Mahomes will take Conley to another level. We lost Dana. We'll try to get him back on here. But, yeah, I mean, you know, DeMarcus Robinson, I've got a lot of hope for this guy as well. What, one catch, 3 yards against the Cleveland Browns last week? I remember last year in preseason. You remember that Titans game? Not this year, 2017 preseason. DeMarcus Robinson had over 100 yards receiving there in the first half. It was a connection by Mahomes. It was the chicken or the egg. Is it the quarterback or the wide receivers? And I do believe a quarterback like Mahomes could take a guy to a new level. That's what he did in Denver last year, the last game of the season. He was basically playing with the JV team going against the Denver Broncos. So we'll see. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, Conley, I don't think Conley comes back to the Chiefs. He's making, $1.8 million this year. He made $635,000 last year, is an unrestricted free agent going through the in 2019. There we go. Got you back, Damon?
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I was answering your question about Chris Conley, and then the phone rang again. But, I don't know where I got cut off, but I think Chris Conley can be more than a serviceable receiver, but I need to see more from him, more wiggle in his game, more the ability to show that he can do some of the things that we've seen Sammy Watkins do in breaking tackles, being that physical force. He's not going to be as shifty as Tyreek Hill. He's not going to be that kind of receiver, but he can still be a guy that can be a more than serviceable receiver.
How much attention should the Chiefs look at the draft when it comes to wide receiver talent? I know next year they're probably going to go heavy defense as well, but and Sammy Watkins signed here for a couple years. But Tyreek Hill is going to want that big money as well. Do you believe in Patrick Mahomes as far as taking, you know, second, third-round wide receiver talent, or would you like to see him explode, you know, like a first-round receiver? Like the Chiefs, going out and getting weapons for Patrick Mahomes in the future, or is he just good enough that he could take marginal receivers like we saw Manning used to do and be great with them? Now, yeah, we'll forget about this. We'll forget about this. It's rough. But you know what? Speaking of Pat Mahomes, I do it every single Thursday. I talk to Kent Swanson, Arrowhead Pride. We break down inside the Pat Mahomes Film Lab. We do that next.
Here's Arrowhead Pride lead film and draft analyst Kent Swanson with the Bad Guy Report.
Well, it's not a Bad Guy Report. It's inside the Mahomes Film Lab. Arrowhead Pride, Kent Swanson. You hear him all over the place. He's all over Arrowhead Pride Radio. You can hear him at the 7th Street Casino Red Sunday post-game show. And, of course, you also hear him on the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show. What's up, Kent?
What's going on? Be good day to be talking to you. 8-1 Chiefs. Easy game coming up, too. It's a good time to be a Chiefs fan.
I know. Yeah, I look at the schedule, and I think to myself, okay, is this a tune-up? Is this a glorified practice with actual NFL players? Some of these, I mean, the second half schedule, Kent. I mean, this is open wide up for the Chiefs. It's games where you can actually have guys injured and be out and be just fine. But, I mean, the Raiders twice. I mean, the Ravens are going the opposite direction. You get the Chargers, but it's at home. I mean, yeah, I guess going to Seattle, it's a 500 team, or the Rams. I mean, this team needs to find its own way to motivate themselves, don't they?
I mean, yeah, sure. I think it's all about trying to just come out with wins here at this point. It's going to be hard to get up for a game like this just because, I mean, the spread is like if the Chiefs were playing you and me, Bink, I don't know how much more the spread would be. So, you know, it's going to be a struggle for them to continue to stay motivated. I think some of these games will be easier than others, but this one's going to be interesting, especially with the Rams coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be Mahomes getting the touchdown record for Lynn Dawson. He's got 29 now. One more. Lynn Dawson set the team franchise home run record, touchdown pass record with 30 back in 1964. He's sitting at 29. I guess this is pretty significant, Kent. You know, you like baseball, and you follow the Royals a lot too, but when Moose broke the record of Steve Balboni, that was one of the most pathetic records in sports. 36 home runs, 30 touchdown passes in this day and age, man. This deserves to be broken.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's the same thing as the Balboni record. You're absolutely right. I mean, like, this franchise has been, how long was it, 50 years?
It was 64 that Dawson did it, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's awful. And it's deserved to be broken. It's time. And who better to do it than the guy that, you know, finally broke another streak of not drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Do you see all the records he's getting? He's already going to move up, like, what, the top five all-time touchdown passes that they're playing? He's going to own every single record of the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, this is what happens when you don't invest in the most important position in football, which is your own draft capital. And this is what happens. You get 54 years of a low touchdown pass streak. All these other streaks that he's gonna completely dominate. It's because this is the first guy that they've taken a legit chance on, and it's deserved that he pans out, because, you know, if they had to wait another 30 years for them to draft another quarterback in the first round, I don't know how many Chiefs fans there'd be around.
Well, they won the Super Bowl January 11, 1970. To me, there's no other mystery why the Chiefs don't have a ring. Your 30 touchdown was your record set in 64. That's why you have a drought that long, Kent. I mean, I look at that record, and it defies me. One thing you talked about, you have a three-part series each and every week on arrowheadpride.com. Really good stuff. You break down Mahomes like nobody else. And this week, well, you would talk about in part three. We'll skip ahead to part three. I'll get back to it. But you're talking about that chemistry with Sammy Watkins and the development of the chemistry between Mahomes and Watkins. Now, Watkins might not play this week because of the foot, but 5 catches, 62 yards against Cleveland, 8 for 107 against Denver. He's got 2 games now over 100 yards, but are we seeing something? Have you noticed a difference between Watkins and Mahomes, maybe that trust level to be, you know, that number two guy?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. And, you know, you're just seeing over time, you know, the team, the Chiefs are getting it away, you know, kind of figuring out the best way to use Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins, you know, they threw everything at him. They said, you're going to learn X, Y, Z. You're going to learn everything. And so it took him some time to kind of get up to speed and being able to run in all these spots. And, you know, early on in the season, it just looked like it looked really rough as far as the chemistry was concerned. But now what you're starting to see, especially basically since the first Bronco game where he played, but he didn't play. He was on there for two snaps. I don't think he got a target. Basically, since then, he's taken off. He's actually been 20th in the National Football League amongst receivers in receiving yards per game from weeks 5 to 9. So you're seeing this growth. You're seeing this, you know, chemistry development. They're starting to utilize him. They're starting to trust him. Pat's finding him in situations where he needs it. And it's critical because, you know, he's always going to he creates problems just because he's a talent. And with the ball in his hands, he's able to make guys miss. But, you know, now that they're really starting to lean on him, the balance of this offense when all three of those receivers are on the field with Kareem Hunt is just it's absurd. And you're going to – it's an upward trend. We're going to continue to see this the second half of the season as long as he's healthy.
One thing you talked about, too, and I think it was part one of your series, how about the Browns, how they kind of tightened the windows for Mahomes in the red zone, tried to do man. Were the Browns trying to do something that nobody else did? Because Greg Williams is creative, I'll give him that. Has he seen basically everything now, that tight going man in the red zone?
Well, they tried man a little bit. They challenged him, and it didn't work. And I think one of the things with Mahomes is, you know, he's thrown to the most open window. He's had the most open window throws, the least contested, the least kind of tight window throws, you know, the first half of the season. So, you know, I think they tried early a little bit to try to play some man and to try to close those windows up. They tried that in the red zone, and Travis, he connected with Travis Kelce for one play there, and then they tried some Tampa 2 later in the game too, and nothing works. Nothing's really worked with this kid. You know, he continues to rise to the occasion with every opportunity he gets.
He crushes Tampa 2. I don't know why he just thinks about it through, and he waits for the development in the middle of the field. I mean, he sees that linebacker drop, and he hits somebody early, but that cover 2 is that just that Mahomes just eats that up.
Right. And, I mean, it's Travis Kelce. I mean, that he's a big help against you know, cover 2, you know, when you're leaving the middle of the field. You know, if he can kind of hold that deep middle state or that deep linebacker kind of moving, like he's able to expose, you know, a seam there, and they've done it a couple times. They've hit, you know, they hit Travis Kelce a lot against cover 2 in Tampa 2. So, you know, that's the problem that this team presents, right? I mean, there's not a good answer. There's not a good answer for anything they do. And it's just up to the kid to be able to identify what they're trying to do against him and find the guy and find the playmaker. And luckily for him, the Chiefs have loaded up on playmakers all around him.
They really have. I mean, they've loaded up. I had Dayton Hughes on here just a second ago, Kent, and I was asking him because this is a year that Brett Veach is very fortunate that he can just concentrate on one side of the ball or the other. The offense is set. So we can actually go to this draft this year, Kent, and go all defense once again because everybody signed for next year. Do you have a feeling that they will look for that guy, that Julio Jones-type guy in the draft for Mahomes, or will they trust that he'll raise everybody's play level where he can take second, third-round, or fourth-round wide receivers and make them look like stars?
Yeah, I don't think that they should load up on and try to invest in a receiver right now. Just, I mean, you know, with Sammy Watkins under contract for 2 more years, they're probably going to wind up getting Tyreek Hill done soon. You got Travis Kelce. Yeah, you want to continue to make sure that you always have enough weapons around it. But, I mean, for 2019 and 2020, I think they're in pretty good shape as far as the weapons they have. So go out, you know, invest in a pass rusher, invest in an interior defensive lineman in the corner, you know, load up on the defensive side of the ball, continue to build that side up. And maybe a couple of years down the road, you might start wanting to look to address, you know, maybe investing a premium pick on offensive line, on, you know, on a playmaker. That, not quite now, but, you know, down the road, they're going to have to eventually.
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, because they were able to spend all that resources on defense. They can't, again, Sammy Watkins was their big, you know, purchase. As far as for Pat Mahomes, I mean, that was brought in for Mahomes. I'm just curious which direction they go. I'm looking forward to it when they can actually, You know, Kent, you break down the draft like I do and do mock drafts. I just can't wait to start penciling in some offensive skill positions to match with Mahomes instead of worrying about the defense every time. Like we did this whole last year.
Hey, it'll be fun when they start adding weapons.
I'm just saying, I can't wait for that day. Pat Mahomes went on with Rich Eisen on NFL Network radio this week, and he said his favorite touchdown pass was that just a great touchdown pass to Travis Kelce. And it looked like Travis Kelce caught the ball. I mean, he threaded it through a window, and it just stuck to his hands. It was an unbelievable catch. It was an unbelievable throw. You've seen and chart every single Pat Mahomes throw. Was that your favorite touchdown pass by Mahomes?
I don't think so. It was a great throw. Don't get me wrong. It was a great ball. I tend to like, I like that one in the back line of the end zone against the Niners. But that throw that, he threw to Kelce, I think that just shows the kind of trust that they have. And I think, Mahomes trusted him to throw that ball. And I think even in that interview with Rich Eisen, he said something to the effect of, if Travis Kelce doesn't make that catch, it might be an interception. So, I think the thing about that play, what's so cool is the amount of trust that they showed between the two, right? Mahomes to deliver that ball in such a tight window, in that place, and then Kelce to go up and get it. Like, that's the kind of thing that just makes this defense or this offense impossible to defend. And, when talents are matching up and showing trust in each other, it doesn't matter if you're running whatever coverage you're running. These guys are going to make plays. And that's what should be so encouraging for Chiefs fans moving forward.
Thoughts on the offensive line and protection for Pat Mahomes?
Say that again?
Thoughts on the offensive line and protection for Pat Mahomes. They've been so good for him this year. Do you see any weaknesses as far as the line not giving him the opportunities to do what he needs to do in the pocket?
I mean, that's certainly the area for concern, I guess. But, the Chiefs have done such a great job of handling so much attrition on the offensive line. It's remarkable, really. The tackles have been super steady. So, if they lose one of the tackles, that could be a problem. But they've done a really good job of just plugging guys in on the interior offensive line. Pat's been pretty good about getting the ball off on time a lot of plays. And when he's not, he's doing a good job of creating outside of structure and navigating the pocket. So I think as Mahomes continues to grow, as he continues to get better, he's really helping that offensive line, and they're doing a great job on their end too, don't get me wrong. But that's kind of what's been so encouraging too is, they've handled a lot of issues on the front, and they've still been able to produce, kept them pretty clean, give them a chance to make plays.
Only Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, and Ben Roethlisberger sacked fewer than Patrick Mahomes. He's barely, too. He's been sacked 12 times. Drew Brees leads the way with 9. Kent, always good discussion. I recommend everybody go to arrowheadpride.com. Check out Kent Swanson's 3-part series each and every week with Pat Mahomes. It's not a bad job to have that he can look at Pat Mahomes each and every week. It's better than Kent Swanson's 3-part series on Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah, it's so much better.
Would you still have done a 3-part series on Alex Smith this year?
Do what?
Would you still have done a 3-part series on Alex Smith this year?
Oh, would we? Oh, sorry. No, we wouldn't have. It would have been one. It would have been one piece, and then I would have been, trying to figure out, it probably would have been writing about why Mahomes wasn't on the field. So.
Great stuff. Kent Swanson, Arrowhead Pride, Chicky Mountain. By the way, I wanted to mention this. I forgot. You hated that interception at the end of the half. I did too. I was like, man, I did not want to see that interception on his record when he's doing it for grabs. I was miffed. I could tell you were miffed about it too when I was listening to you later.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, I'm just waiting for someone to say, have some narrative about 5 straight interceptions in 5 straight games. Like, I'm just waiting for some national media guy to be like, is there cause for concern? It was a nonsensical waste of an interception. It's just a bummer that it's on his tally, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I saw that too. Kent Swanson, Arrowhead Pride, man. He joins me every single Thursday at 6:30. Take it easy, Kent.
Hey, good talking to you, buddy.
There you go, Kent Swanson right there. High school football playoffs, Kansas and Missouri. We host the Rockers games on 1660 The Score with the voice of the Rockers talk. Let's Mark Miller, big game tomorrow against Lee Summit North. I sit down, talk to Mark Miller about the game tomorrow night for Rockers. We'll do that next. joining us now. High school football playoffs continue Friday night, and the voice of the Rockhurst Hocklets on our sister station, 1660 The Score. Mark Miller, longtime voice of high school football in this town. Mark Miller, what's up, Mark?
Hey, Jay, how are you doing, man?
Hey, saw you last week. We had some chili before the game. Oh, life was good. It was high school football at its finest. It was Lee Summit West. It was a really good team against a very good Rockhurst team, and the Rockbridge lost to Rockhurst early this year. Lee Summit West handled them like 28-7, but once again, for the third straight year, Rockhurst had the number of Lee Summit West.
Yeah, it's the third year in a row that we've been on the road and outdoors broadcasting the game, which has always been a lot of fun. Great hospitality out there at Lee Summit West for the Titans, but just seems like Rockhurst has their number each year. Just we find a way to get through. Rockhurst does and get to the next game. This game started out with Lee Summit West, takes that opening drive, goes 14 plays, 80 yards, puts in the end zone up 7-0. They had a great opportunity. I think, believe they had the ball three other times in the first half inside the Rockhurst 50. Rockhurst, the foundation of their team this whole season, has been their ability to play defense, make you drive 80 yards to score on them. They're able to hold them off until they were able to end of the first half. They had a great 3.5 minutes as they scored 17 unanswered points. Big play there. Cooper Krizik's pick six. But according to Coach Severino, the play of the game was the 48 career-long field goal by Owen Lawson. He called that the play of the game because it gave them a two-score lead going into halftime, and I've covered enough Rockhurst over the years. Tony always defers. This time he didn't have to, as Lee Summit West took the ball first, got that ball in the second half. Two players are in the end zone again, 24-7, and they're on their way to a district title game tonight.
Well, it was one of those things. We were talking about it because the whole thing about the turning point in the game, and it could have been the pick six, it was also a huge stop. There was a situation where Lee Summit West started on the Rockhurst territory. Rockhurst kept getting thrown to the wolves at defense. They were getting good field position. Their average starting field position is about 15 yards difference between the two. But just the way the defense was good last year with 16 points a game, 12 points a game this year, but the way the defense was holding the charges, because Lee Summit West spread the ball out, moved it at will on that first drive, but man, that defense, there was a three and out that they had in Lee Summit had it in Rockhurst territory. I was like, man, it could have been a turning point too.
You know, the adjustments they've made all season long have been just remarkable. They've had teams score on them early, but they make adjustments. Their front eight, their linebacking core leads this team in tackles. A couple of juniors, Tucker Atwood leads the team in tackles, and their front line, they do such a good job. They were able to get a little pressure on the quarterback for Lee Summit West, not make it easy as it was that first drive. And the cornerbacks, and you've got a cornerback like Josh Moore, you take one side of the field away, and Krizik and company, they're good in the secondary. Coach Severino tells me that Josh Moore doesn't need to make a tackle. He just needs to defend on the receiver he's guarding, because the front eight, they move to the ball so well, you aren't able to get to the edge on them very often. And that's what's led them. That's the foundation. The offense is good, and it's gotten better over the course of the year. They're averaging more points, getting more total yards per game. But defensively, that's a cornerstone of this team.
And it was. It was that secondary, too. At least some of West can throw the ball around. I mean, that quarterback had 48 touchdowns and 7 interceptions the last 2 years. They had 3 receivers over 600 yards. And not only that, those receivers contributed last year as well. So to shut down those wide receivers, very important to very important for this defense, but it's Lee Summit tour for Rockhurst. 3 straight weeks, another Lee Summit school, Lee Summit North, coached under Jamar Mosey, a former Blue Spring Wildcat. So once again, another Lee Summit school for Rockhurst. What time do you and Ross have the pregame on? 6:30?
We take the pregame at 6:30 Friday night. We have got Missouri State basketball at the same time on 1660. If you want to hear the game live, please go to radio.com, download the app, and search 1660 The Score. You can hear the game live. The game will be taped and aired immediately following the post-game basketball show from Missouri State. You'll be able to hear the game on 1660. But if you want to hear it live, it's real easy on your mobile device. Just download the radio.com app, search 1660, and you can hear Ross and I do play-by-play and listen to the Hocklet game.
It's right there, same place that anybody listens to any of the intercom stations, not only here, but everywhere. Radio.com, I know people listen on the app on 610 all the time, which I think more people sometimes listen on the app, especially at high school football games. Radio.com, you can listen to The Score right there with Mark Miller. Right when you're at your game, you can listen and see what's going on with Rockhurst.
Should be a lot of fun. It's a heck of a game. Jermon Mosey's done a great job at Lee Summit North. They've had a season full of firsts First conference championship, first win over Blue Springs, first playoff win. Now they're trying to beat Rockers for the first time in their school history. They've got a good team. It should be a great game Friday night.
When I was in high school, Mark, it was just one Lee Summit. It was just one Lee Summit, one Blue Springs, one Park. It was just one thing. But Mark Miller, Ross Cascio on the call of Rockers all season long on 1660 Score. Don't forget radio.com app to hear Mark's game live. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, Jay.
Boy, some good games on the Missouri side. Rockers, Lee Summit North, Rockers. Some ridiculous stat, like 43-1 against Lee Summit schools, North Kansas City, Staley, Smithville, Platte County. I'm looking forward to this one. Both of them 10-1. Platte County actually beat Smithville by 1 point earlier this season. That's going to be good on the Kansas side. There's some good ones as well. St. Thomas Aquinas and Mill Valley rematch from the semifinals a year ago. It's going to be fun. But joining us now is his name's Chris Unocero. You know Chris. He does a million things.
I'm not sure if they know who I am.
They do. They know who you are. Chris Unocero does a million things around the station. He's doing a show every Thursday night following the Bill Snyder Show. That's what comes up next, the Bill Snyder Show. And then Chris Unocero with Jillian Carroll.
Yep.
Jillian Carroll and Unocero is the show, and they do a lot of cool stuff. Sporting Kansas City, heavily dominated on that show. But it's a good listen. What do you guys got coming up tonight?
Coming up tonight, we talk about the lesser-known sports. We talk about some of the smaller colleges, talk soccer, a lot of soccer, especially this time of year because we got the MLS playoffs going on. Right now, Sporting Kansas City in the midst of a two-game series with Real Salt Lake over in Utah, the team that they beat for the 2013 MLS Cup Championship. Second game will be this Sunday afternoon. I think it's like right after the Chiefs game, so that'll be really interesting there. So we're going to talk about that. We've got Ike Opara from Sporting Kansas City, last year's Defender of the Year. Jillian did an interview with him. I think it was yesterday, actually. So she did an interview with him. He had a lot of great things. We'll have you on during the show so we can talk
How'd
about
that.
Hey, I think I texted you earlier
big
this
name,
morning.
Big name, yeah.
So we got a big get there. We talk high school football, obviously, because this is prime time of the year for
huge.
High school football. Really, really huge.
Culminates at Thanksgiving weekend, basically.
Yes.
Missouri's a little bit later.
Yeah, a little bit
one
week
through
later.
Five.
Yeah.
Six is right there, right after Thanksgiving, but Kansas right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So big matchups. Obviously, you just heard Mark Miller, and yep. he's talking about The Rock. So you'll be able to hear that game tomorrow on 1660. The Score. On the radio.com app because it's streaming live from there. And then we Jillian also caught up with John Scott Dixon, the head coach for the Kansas City Mavericks.
You're always a good coach if you have three names.
Yes. And then on top of that, she also caught up with Jared Van Wormer as well. So we're going to hear about that. Definitely going to give you a lot of analysis about these MLS playoffs because your Sporting Kansas City team is number one in the Western Conference. They are a really good team, and so Kansas City should absolutely be supporting them. If you're not going to go to the Chiefs game, you're a really big sports fan, you got to watch that team. You got to go out there to Children's Mercy Park. They're going to be a hot ticket, and they're really fun to watch.
You know, they were saying, I saw where people were saying that, what, about 100,000 fans between – well, easily, 70,000 Arrowhead.
Yeah, it's like 78, and then it's like about 20,
22,
21.
22.
Something like that. It's because like they'll obviously sell a lot of standing room only tickets there. So, yeah, it's like it'll be like between 20 and 22,000 there at Children's Mercy Park.
That game's at 2 o'clock. Or no, it's not. Is it 2 o'clock? I don't know what that game is, but I think it's 2 o'clock. I could
yeah,
be wrong. But,
yeah.
But anyway, there's 30, so 100,000 people in Kansas City going to a live sports event.
Yes.
This weekend. That's huge.
There will be a lot of fans out there, and it will be, yeah, it's a 2 o'clock start. There's going to be a lot of fans out there, and it's going to be a really, really fun time. If you can't get out there, definitely check it out when you can on television. If you got the double-decker TV set up, you got to check those two games out.
Jillian Carroll, Chris Unocero, tonight at 8 o'clock, immediately following Bill Snyder Show.
Thank you.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm sitting with Fanning doing the drive. See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.